My name is Roy, and I am a miracle of mental health and a compulsive overeater. Hello, group. I wanted to start on time because we are disciplined people, and we allow God to discipline us, which is a line from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, adapted for the program of Overeaters Anonymous. First thing I like to do is start with a prayer to invoke a higher power, because without a higher power, the ego, my ego, will take over. And it'll be more about Roy L. than it will be about the big book, about God, about Overeaters Anonymous, and about you. So I need prayer from the audience, and you could say, help Roy not fall in love with his own voice. Help Roy keep his opinions minimal. Help Roy carry a message rather than his personality. Okay, so let's just have a moment of silence, and we'll say the Serenity Prayer afterwards. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I jump in. This is Jeff M.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff. I'm a compulsive overeater.
If you want.
And, we are thrilled that Roy has agreed to share his... is this working?
Hello?
Hello?
I feel like Elvis. We're thrilled that Roy has agreed to share his knowledge and thought and insight on the Big Book, and we figured that if you guys are here at this point, you're serious about learning about the Big Book. Now, in my personal and humble opinion, if you're going to learn about the Big Book, you want to write in your Big Book, and if you want to write in your Big Book, you probably need another one. And I, of course, love the telephone book, Big Book, which is what I use, actually. So we brought a few of those down. Obviously, you know, we don't make any money on this, so I'm not trying to, you know, hawk this for commission. We're doing this for service. We also have hardback Big Books. And Karen, who was supposed to be ready with her Vanna White-like modeling skills. We also have small Big Books, and we have the OA Touchdown for Recovery notebooks. So these are $6. They are whatever they are, plastic vinyl. No natural fibers ever used. Here's a smaller Big Book if you want that. And we have this book, which has a little pen dealy and a pen involved if you want to take notes and didn't bring them. So we're going to be in the back for about 3 to 5 minutes because we've got a lot of other ground to cover. But if there's anyone who's interested in any of this stuff, we wanted to do that before Roy got started so that you can start fresh. Well, I'm old, and I need the bigger print, yeah. So, well, it's a slight price difference, but sure. Yeah, just come see us in the back. And anyone else who might need a big book of any variety, we brought all three flavors, let us know. And, of course, if you don't and you realize an hour from now that I was right and you probably do want a new big book, just run upstairs. They'll be out there. And, again, help me, please, in thanking Roy for agreeing to do this.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff, for your service and for inviting me. And it's an honor and a privilege, as they say. And I'll give Dave a plug. He's going to record. He recorded Harlan's workshop last year, which I bought last year. And he's got a lot of program tapes. And Dave J., I don't know if you're anonymous or not, but he may be a normie, but he's with All Star Media, and this is his card, and there he is. And I assume you're going to be recording the entire...
Recording everything.
All right. I wanted to get that plug in before I forgot. I'll try and remember to plug it again. Tradition 8 in Overeaters Anonymous. How well are we... This is page 175. How well are we learning to live by the principle of non-professionalism in OA? Do we try to speak as experts in OA meetings on recovery, on medicine, or nutrition? On sociology, on the big book, on the OA fellowship, on the program, etc., even on humility. Clancy's old joke, no, as Ray O'Keefe used to say, I'm starting my new biography. It's already at 600 pages. It's called Humility and Beyond. And the point is that we really don't have any experts. And I'll show you why. Because I have 32 years of experience doing this thing. But an expert, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, is a person who has a comprehensive and authoritative knowledge of a skill in a particular area. Okay, comprehensive means complete, including all or nearly all. So I'm definitely not an expert, because I'm a student of the Big Book. I continue to learn about it. I learn new stuff every week. And I'll tell you about the annual book study I go to. It's an open meeting. We declared an open meeting 6 months ago. And my sponsor, Brian A., has been there, and Dina has been there. And it's Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. in Santa Monica, 1515 Maple. It's in the local AA meeting directory. It's just a book study. We go through the Big Book, paragraph by paragraph. And the guys in that meeting, the backbone of the meeting, like Dan S., Matt H., Mike D., Mike M., former district committee man in the World Service, these guys have been using the book to take sponsees through the step work for 20 years, you know, me 30 plus years. So, and Jimmy C. also comes. He's a resident agnostic. He's got 34 years on the program, but he still loves the Big Book and worked the steps out of the Big Book. So I am a student of the Big Book still. I am not, I certainly don't know all of, I always learn something new every time I read the book. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. That, and I want to stay that way. So no, I'm certainly not comprehensive, and I'm not authoritative. So authoritative says proceeding from an official source and requiring compliance or obedience. You don't even have to stay in this workshop. You can do what you want. I mean, I have no power. I have no official ex cathedra status in OA. I'm just a guy who, well, I'll tell you why. I've been, the Big Book saved my life. If I have time, I may go into that. Joe and Charlie, some of my favorite Big Book, I was listening to some of their tapes last night, actually. They just used to say, well, just a couple of alcoholics who know that the Big Book has the answers for us, you know, and these guys literally went around in the 70s reteaching Alcoholics Anonymous its own program. And to this day, it has still wandered very, very far from its original focus. This program was then, is now, and will always be a spiritual program about a search for God. Okay, the G word flips you out, brings back memories of organized religions, your parents. We get that. A higher power, as you understand them, God as you understand them. So, why am I here today if I'm not an expert, and I'm not authoritative, and I'm not comprehensive? And this is what Bob says in his story. I do it for four reasons. One, a sense of duty. I owe. You know, OA really, and AA too, before that saved my life. And the book saved my life. I might have time to talk about that. This is on in Bob's story, page 180. I've got all the page numbers. That's why I wanted to use this. So you guys, if you want to just jot a page number down, you don't have to remember exactly what I said, you know. One, it's a sense of duty, because I owe. Two, it's a pleasure. Everybody knows I've fallen in love with my own voice years ago. Three, because in so doing, I'm paying my debt to the man who took time to pass it on to me. And four, because, and in Bob's case, it was Bill Wilson, of course. And in my case, I guess it was my first sponsor, Edie. It was really the Big Book was who passed on the message to me. Because my first sponsor in AA almost killed me, and when I came in OA, they didn't know what the hell was going on. They weren't pushing the Big Book in meetings. We do now. OA has really gotten hip, by the way. I want to congratulate OA on its 51st birthday. I was here last year for the 50th. OA has gotten the message, in many cases better than AA. And if I have time, I'll elaborate with a zillion opinions. Because every time I do it, I take out a little more insurance for myself against a possible slip. I'm still doing this thing because I don't want to go back to 280 pounds. And because, as Bill Wilson says on page 105, which I just somehow managed to zip right past, I don't know, this is, there we go. Page 105 of Asbel Sees It. I thought I had a Bill Sees It here, too. Why don't I have all the books I thought I had? I may have left that one in the car. I had it in the... It's probably here. All right, I don't have to show it to you. Bill Sees It is sold at a lot of AA meetings. It's a collection of Bill's writing, often from letters, articles, a lot of, from the big book from the 12 and 12. On page 105, our chief responsibility to the newcomer is an adequate presentation of the program. Okay, and I can tell you when I came in this fellowship in AA about 8 months before in 1978, I was not given an adequate presentation of this program. The only adequate presentation I had was from the big book. And I may get a chance to talk about that. How do I want to come off today? Well, I tend to be a bit pedantic. I'm an academic monk. You know, I was in a PhD program for literature, so, and I drank myself out of that, which is why I work for LA Unified today, when I should be teaching at a major Ivy League college, hitting on the co-eds. But this is my mission statement. Where do you think I got it from? Page 18. That the man who is making the approach has had the same difficulty, which is why I will qualify, that he obviously knows what he's talking about, that his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect that he is a man with a real answer, that he has no attitude of holier than thou. I hope I don't have that. You let me know if I do, by the way. Nothing whatever except a sincere desire to be helpful, that there are no fees to pay, no axes to grind, no people to please, no lectures to be endured. Well, let me know if I come off like a lecture. These are the conditions we have found most effective. And because I go to this anal book study on Thursday in Santa Monica, one of the guys says, I read this to my sponsee when I'm taking them through the steps. And I started reading it to my sponsees when I take them through the steps. I think it's a good idea. And I tell my sponsee, like I'm telling you in the audience, if I start coming off like a lecturer or holier than thou or somebody with authority, you let me know. Okay? Because that's not my job. I won't be effective. So this book, I get very emotional. This book, this book even tells me how to talk to people. Okay. I was at the, somebody mentioned the Tuesday, well, you mentioned Herb Kay's workshop. I was at an OA Tuesday night book study in Santa Monica just the other night. Beautiful book study on 18th in Arizona. It was just the speaker had a sweet spirit. She only spoke for 10 minutes. She spoke, you know, a little bit about what she read. I think we were reading one of the forewords or starting at the book. But it was so touching and simple and personal. And the book says, at its core, our message is simple and personal. And I'm going to try and hopefully, with all this high tech stuff, play a CD or recording I have on the hard disk of the original 12-step call described in Bill Wilson's words. Before there was a book, they were carrying this message simply, personally, word of mouth. You didn't, you know, the guys who wrote the book didn't have the book. Okay? Okay. Qualification. Notice the note to myself. Keep it as brief as possible. I'll tell you one of the first things I did when they asked me to do this, and I was here last year for some Harlan sessions. I couldn't stay it all the time. I went back and listened to it. Harlan spent a lot of time in his qualification, and as he well should, because what a story. He has one of the OA stories that reminds you of an AA or an NA or a CA story, you know, life-threatening, taking it to the gates of insanity and death, you know, dying in the hospital with cellulitis. Great first step story, but I want to get through the material in the book. My intention here today is to give you a way of working with sponsees using the big book. Okay, I've got plenty of personal experience with this, believe me, and I may get time to tell it. I'm not really all about my personal spiritual condition, my knowledge of the material, my ability to articulate a message. I'm worried about time management. That's the, and I'm a legend in the program for always saying, you guys don't give me enough time. And that's why I'm going to keep my qualification real short as opposed to Harlan's, which was a nightmare story, you know. Harlan's nightmare. You know, reminds me of Dr. Bob's nightmare. Let me just say that my top weight was 280 pounds, 100 pounds, over 100 pounds where I am now. I've gained and lost 80 pounds three times. I've been on the amphetamines, the Stillman diet, the pregnant hormone shots, the liquid protein. My family were compulsive overeaters. My brother's one of us. He's gone up towards 300 again. He's been up there once. My father was diabetic. They told him, don't eat chocolate, and you'll take oral pills, and you'll be fine. My mother would find half-eaten bottles, boxes of chocolate under the bed. He wound up shooting insulin. When I came in 78, I was 8 months sober, out of control with the food. Food was my childhood drug. I started it. I was a fat kid since the age of 7. I wasn't drunk to the ripe old age of at least 12. By the time I was 16, I was already a daily blackout drinker. And the only thing I want to say about alcohol is that I tried to be a vegetarian once and live on vodka and mashed potatoes for a month, but I gained weight on that food plan, unfortunately. So I came in 8 months sober, out of control of the food. My childhood, my first drug was food. My second drug was alcohol. So I, you know, the first drug kicked in, and I was out of control. On my knees, praying to God. I was out of the state. I came into Florida. God, when I get back to Miami, please let me get to this OA thing I've been hearing about. Got on gray sheet, that's all we had. There were no men. I didn't hear much about a big book in any OA meetings then. The women were doing what they were doing. They were all my age now, so I won't say they're old. But I was a feisty young buck still running. I was an exercise bulimic. I got up to 12 miles in Miami heat in 90-degree temperature, 90-degree humidity. I go up north, gain all my weight back, try to lose it with the pregnant hormone shots. I'm running behind a snow plow with a ski mask on. Okay, in the middle of people saying, hey, Rocky, you know, and a blizzard. You know, this is insanity. Exercise bulimic. I come in OA, and after 2 weeks of white knuckle abstinence on gray sheet, she wouldn't let me put milk in the coffee. You know, it was kind of like the food plan was a higher power, you see. And we need discipline. We need weighing measure. If we need it, we have food spots, we have food plans, we have pamphlets, we have dietitians, doctors. I was on my way to France, and I forgot, well, I wouldn't brown bag. I was too cool for that. And I landed in France eating. They didn't have the diabetic meal on the plane, and I was out of control of the food in Paris, France, with 8 months of sobriety and 2 weeks of abstinence. And I don't think my spiritual condition was that strong, because I'd done a preliminary fourth and fifth step with this A sponsor who almost killed me, because he was not a big book guy. And I wound up gaining 30 pounds my first month in France. I was out of control of food in France, and I got abstinent in the Paris group of Overeaters Anonymous, the shakiest, flakiest, no recovery group you've ever seen. The bulimics were puking, the anorexics were starving, the overeaters were binging. And I'm there quoting the 12 and 12 with 8 months of sobriety, like I know what the hell I'm talking about. Meanwhile, I can't stop eating. You know. Hit my bottom in Marseille, got abstinent, just one meal at a time, in the now. God is in the now. May you find him now. The book tells me where to find him, deep down inside myself, and when to find him. May you find him now. And I got abstinent, and I've been abstinent ever since, for 32 years, okay, plus. All right, don't applaud for me, but let me just tell you that it is one day at a time, a daily reprieve, and that's why I qualify, because I have to convince you that I'm one of you, or else why the hell would you even be here? Why would you listen to my opinions on anything? If you don't know that I ate like you, and suffered like you, see? And it's italicized in Bob's story. And I'm going to show you something. The reason we have OA is because I need identification. They don't get me in AA. Not my relationship with food. They get my relationship with alcohol. But they don't get my relationship with food. This is the first edition. Dr. Bob's Nightmare. This is on well, there are italics. Up far, I said, what did the man do or say that was different from what the others had done or said? Bob was trying to get sober for years. It must be remembered that I had read a great deal and talked to everyone who knew or thought they knew anything about the subject of alcoholism. This man was a man who experienced many years of frightful drinking, who had had all the drunkard's experience known to man, but who had been cured by the very means I've been trying to employ. Bob was one of the Oxford groups longer than Bill, which is a spiritual prototype of our program. He gave me information about the subject of alcoholism, which was undoubtedly helpful, like it's a physical allergy, a mental obsession, a spiritual malady. But here's the, whenever you see something italicized in the big book, it's for emphasis. Of far more importance was the fact that he was the first living human being with whom I had ever talked, who knew what he was talking about in regard to compulsive overeating from actual experience. In other words, he talked my language. And so that's why I qualified. So you got to know that I understand you and you get me. And it's important to identify that it says on page XII, I guess Roman numeral 12, yes, that happened to me. More important, yes, I felt like that. Most important, yes, I believe this program can work for me too. You see, so even the feelings, yes, I felt, are more important than the details of the drunk-a-log, food-a-log, right? Some of us are anorexic, some of us are bulimic, some of us are exercise freaks, some of us are... More important is the feelings, you know, that, you know, I've never, you know, I didn't have a clue. I thought when they passed out the rules of life, I was in the bathroom or something. I don't know. I missed it. I missed the instruction manual. And because of that, you know, I have all the feelings of insecurity, low self-esteem, fear, this and less than one. It's because of that I get food, and that calms me down. See, that fixes everything. It's a spiritual experience to me. I mean, I'm a quantity. I like to sedate myself. All right. So when it comes to the foodalog and what I say about my personal history, you may rely absolutely on anything I say about myself. I have opinions based on experience. That you can take what you want and leave the rest. If you think I'm voicing an opinion, by all means, take what you want and leave the rest. But when I tell you my story, what happened to me, I'm talking about myself. And you can pretty much rely on that. Most people don't. We don't want to be here talking about how they overate, you know, how they ate off the floor or ate frozen food or chugged a bottle of maple syrup, which I did once, you know. But I'll say that because you got to know that I'm nuts like you are, or else why? Oh, okay. I have what I call myself an originalist, which means I do the program in the big book. I love that. By the way, just for the record, I love the OA literature. For Today is my favorite reader. I like it better than any. I think the OA literature is well written, just like the 12 and 12 is well written. But the original message was in the book. Now, here's a quote from one of my favorite OA speakers. I don't think she's here this year, but you can hear her on tape. And she was here for the birthday party, I'm pretty sure. She's on a long time. Jeannie B., she used to always say at Serenity Sunday, the program's in the literature. I say it in AA meetings and they get pissed off at me. I say the programs and the literature, the opinions are in the meeting. And they don't like that. Because I'm sober 32 years, but we got guys sober 39, 40 years. And they think like, well, you know, I'm invalidating their experience, strength, and hope, which I'm not. You know, we all have our personal experience. But the program is in the literature. And I give my sponsees a little formula for recovery. Big R, capital R stands for recovery. For those of you who are math majors, you'll probably like this. For those of you who aren't, you'll probably think I'm nuts. Let me move this equal sign over one here. All right. Move it over two and save it. Usually in a capital is a constant in math. The constant, what do you think the constant is in here? If recovery is the formula, huh? No. No, the constant's the big book. That's the method. The first variable, A, is your attitude. Willingness, honesty, openness, which the book says in the spiritual appendix, are indispensable. I qualify a guy before I work with him. I say, are you a real compulsive overeater? Tell me a little bit about your eating. Then I hit him with a question, which the book tells me to hit him with. Are you willing to go to any lengths? Are you willing to go to any lengths for a spiritual experience? Are you suffering from a malady that only a spiritual experience will conquer? I'm quoting from the book. If you don't know it, read the book. So then you'll know it, right? But fortunately for you, I usually put page numbers. Now I'm going to have some fun. I'll show you this video. Now, this is our great experiment in high tech here. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't finish. The constant's the big book. The first variable, and probably the most important variable, is your attitude as a sponsee. The higher power, which she said God's the constant, that's variable. My concept of a higher power at 32 years into this thing is definitely different than when I first came in here. I mean, I was confused when I came in here. The higher power concept usually grows. As you know, the book says it's impossible for us to define or comprehend that which is God. It's in the chapter of the agnostics. Impossible to define or comprehend that which is God. I'm quoting from the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, adopted for the program of overeating. Every time I quote from the book here, if I lapse into AA or alcohol, transliterate in your mind. I mean, I have my sponsors write out alcohol, put in food. Write out alcoholism, put in compulsive overeating. It transliterates or translates, whatever you want to call it, perfectly for this character disorder known as food addiction. The addictions are character disorders, often characterized by denial. An addict, we were talking about this somewhat, we're looking at this. An addict is someone, I'm doing something that I don't want to do against my will and I can't stop doing it, even maybe with the knowledge that it's cured me. So an alcoholic is an alcohol addict. A junkie's a heroin addict. A crackhead's a rock cocaine addict. A gambler is whatever, they're gambling. A compulsive overeater, I may be a sugar addict or a bulimic or whatever my eating disorder, but I'm doing something I don't want to do against my will. Even with the knowledge, self-knowledge avails us nothing, that it may be killing me, and I can't stop doing it. So we got the big book's the constant, your attitude's a variable, your higher power is a variable. It will change over time. And the least important variable, the small s, what do you think that stands for? Sponsor. I tell my sponsees, I'm the least important part of this equation. There's 100 guys in this town that could take you through the big book. You might just decide I'm just an asshole, or you might decide, you know, or maybe logistics, I can't be available on the night you're available. Anybody armed with facts about himself in the light of our recovery, says the book. If you've worked the steps and had a spiritual awakening and know what you're doing, which my first sponsor in AA didn't, you can carry this message. I am the least important part of this equation, and I let them know that, okay? Let's see if we can play this video. Did Gabby desert me? Did he? No, let me see. Here we go. Let's see if this is funny. I got this off the internet. I'm trying to get this big here. How do I turn it up? Hold on, let me pause it. Oh, it's this thing? I thought it might be. All my technical guys have deserted me, huh? No, that's not the problem, I don't think. It's this thing, I think. Hold on, let me see. Oh, hold on. Damn it, you left. And the other guy left. They all leave me. I don't know which. Jeff, I was trying to play this funny video, and the sound is real low, and I don't know how to, what speaker thing.
You're going to be very low tech about this.
Oh, that's one way. Hey, this guy's a genius. This should be in show business.
You got to turn it up here.
It's up.
I turned it up. I thought he said, you didn't have the speakers to... I thought he did, no? We tried to pre-plan this, folks.
Nice loud for this computer?
Well, no, I have it... I asked for speakers, right?
No. There's a volume on the computer.
I can't... There's no... The thing that he puts them...
If you would hold this there, I'll turn it up on the
computer. Oh, all right. Hold on, let me start. Stop it again. I hear. All right, you want to try it? Of interfering? Yeah. So I'm an addict. I'm doing something I don't want to do against my will. With the knowledge that it may be killing me. That's just a working definition.
So you have to stand away.
Okay.
Are you,
this is Heather.
Okay.
Uh-huh. No, that's why I asked for if you could hook in speakers. The speaker jack is here. But I asked for speakers, but no. All right.
This to have a speaker.
All right. If he comes back, if you find that... The bottom line is, if we can play it, I'll get it. It's not crucial. The point is...
Can you all hear him through the speaker?
Yeah. Those speakers are fine. All right. It's just a little funny diversion. The point is, you hear slogans when you come into programs, right? If you're not armed with information in the big book, I mean, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And some of these things can be absolutely toxic. Some of them are harmless. Some of them are brilliant. Some of them are helpful. And some of them can kill you. And that was my point. And this was a very funny video, you know, because... So here's some good slogans that are, I think, are based on the big book. We'll love you to, you learn to love yourself. It says, love and tolerance of others is our code. Okay, that's in the chapter on the 10th step around, I guess, page 84. I forgot to put that, let me put that in there for you. Page 84. Miracles happen, shit happens. That's my personal contribution to sloganhood. The book talks about certain trials and rough spots ahead. It says, I'm going to get the power to match calamity with serenity. It's not saying that it's all going to be a bed of roses once you get on the program. I say, this is my other slogan, to see the sunlight of the spirit, you first have to get your head out of your ass. This is my personal contribution. I had a first sponsor who, not only did he have his head up his own ass, he tried to stick mine up there. And he was not book-oriented. And if you don't know what you're doing, man, you can get killed in these programs, I'm telling you. This is a life-threatening disease. Even a compulsive reading is too. Don't kid yourself. If you commit suicide your first 5 years, you're killing the wrong person. I think that's basically true. Until you've been through the steps, it says in the book, we were reborn. You're a different person once you've been through the steps. So even if you're depressed or suicidal, don't kill yourself yet. Wait till you've had a spiritual awakening. The person you brought to the program will eat again. I want to ask, Dave, you don't know how to... Is there a speaker hookup that could play... it was a quick, funny video I wanted to play.
To play the audio?
Yeah, because at home I have my speaker, yeah, you know, into this jack, but I thought he was going to have it. But it's not a big deal if you can't do it.
Are you trying to play it from here?
Right, well, now? Not from this. I have a video here that's...
The one option we could do is...
It doesn't pick it up. He tried to tried to bring it up. All right, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. All right, let's get back to the, you know, I'm not in show business. I'm in there. All right, let's see. Service is swimming. Look what the book says. If a compulsive reader failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice of others, he could not survive. And this failed to survive. Okay? That's what sounds... What I'm getting at is that the slogans are based on the basic text. They're good slogans. You know, you can listen to them. Let's see. You only have to do two things when you come to the program. Stop overeating and change your entire life. I don't know if here and there, compulsive readers have had vital spiritual experiences, huge emotional displacements and rearrangements. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes which were once the guiding forces are suddenly cast to one side. A new set of conceptions and motives begins to dominate them. You've got to change your entire life when you get a... If I go from a Roy-centered world to a God-centered world, that's a real change, okay? That's a very good slogan, okay? Thin is not well. We've heard that one, right? In a way, we think men who cry that sobriety, I would put, what, abstinence here? Or weight loss, you know, weight loss is enough, or unthinking. That's what the book says. I'm sober today, I'm a winner today. You've beaten your wife, you're not paying your income taxes, you got 12 warrants out for you, everybody at work thinks you're an asshole, but you're a winner, huh? What does the book say? We think men who cry that thin is enough are unthinking. The book says, I have to be reborn. out of the food into the people. Have you heard that one? That was an old slogan from when I got absent in Miami. Oh, listen to the Dallas CD from Bill. God damn it, I wanted to play that one. Oh, man, this is frustrating. This was really important. This is frustrating, I'm telling you. Pray, God, show me how to fix computer speakers and hook them up to this. I bet you if Gaddy was around, I bet you could do it. And a little bit. Yeah. All right. I memorize this thing. I've heard it so many times. If there's anything I can tell you, just get a copy of this. It's on the internet for fun and for free. It's Dallas, Texas, 1951, Bill Wilson, okay? He was going around the country trying to convince the fellowship to accept the traditions, okay? They just had a convention in 1950, and now everybody's pissed off how they rammed it through. So he's doing PR work. And he went all around the country. He spoke in Fort Worth. The best one, this is basically the same thing covered by the Three Legacies tape, where he tells his story, his spiritual experience. But the Dallas 51 tape is more up close and personal. I wish I could play this. This pisses me off. If somebody can find Gaddy, if he's here, Gabby or Paul G, you know him? If you could find him, I'd appreciate it, because I'd really like to play this for you. But I'll tell you what's in it. I've listened to it 1,000 times. Here's what blows me away. Remember I said that the message is simple and personal. Before they had a big book, it was word of mouth. You know, he's sitting there, he gets a call from Ebby. He's sober. Ebby had never been in New York sober in his life. Bill used to say, well, if I ever get that bad, I'm going to quit. Say, that's who Ebby was. He was worse than Bill. And now Bill gets that bad, and he tries to quit. He tries to quit for about 5 years, and he can't do it. And then Ebby calls him up, and he's sober. So he says, well, come on over, Ebby. So he's looking at Ebby. Something's different, he says. In the book, it actually says, his roots grasped the new soil, and he was more than just inwardly changed. He could really sense it. He says he pushes some gin and pineapple juice. Ah, the man. Is there any chance, Paul, that you can get some speaker hooked into this jack so I can play this Bill Wilson CD, maybe?
Where is it now? Is it in the computer?
I have no speakers. I thought.
Right,
oh yeah, it's on the hard drive. It's on the hard drive. Here, I'm going to close this.
What I would do is put this by your speakers.
Yeah, but we tried this though. Okay, we tried this. Well, maybe he knows where to put it better. So, what's not turned on? Oh, that could be a factor.
Test one.
It was. All right, let's test it with the video.
Test one. Test. Test.
All right, do you know where to put it, where these speakers are in the computer? Okay, let's see if we can get to. There's no way to hook a jack into there, though, huh?
No.
Okay. I could have brought my own computer speakers. It might have been loud enough for you guys to hear it, but I thought they were going to have something.
Test one, two, test.
All right, let's see how we do. Ready?
Yeah.
What do you want, the speaker?
Yeah.
This? It's all the way up. That's all the way up. No. No. Yeah, because this is not that important, but the Bill Wilson. All right, let me tell you what's on it, okay? He says, have a drink, Ebby. Gives him some pineapple juice and gin. He was putting in pineapple juice because he thought it would look better if Lois suddenly came home than if he had a pint on the table. So he was mixing it with pineapple juice. It wasn't his favorite mixer. His favorite mixer was ice. And he's drinking bootleg gin. It was still, I think, still prohibition. I'm not sure when Roosevelt repealed it. But he says, have a drink. Ebby says, no, I'm not drinking today. What? Ebby turns down a drink. Come, Ebby, what's gotten into you? And he says, I'm just not drinking today. He goes, are you on the water wagon? No? just not drinking. What's got into you? He says, I've got religion. And Bill goes, oh, so that's it. You know, last month an alcoholic crackpot, now a religious nut. You know, he's thinking this. He didn't say it out loud. He says, well, and he describes himself in this as a lusty agnostic, not meaning sexual, but an enthusiastic, passionate agnostic. The kind of guy who stayed up all night arguing with theology students to show how stupid they were. He's an enthusiastic agnostic. He fought in World War I. He'd seen allegedly Christian nations kill each other by the millions. It's in his story in the book. You know, he was religious people. Oh, come, what's God in? What kind of religion is this anyway, Abby? He's kind of a little bit snide, but he loves Abby. He didn't want to offend him. He goes, well, Abby goes, not much of a religion, really. More like, you know, just age-old spiritual principles, as old as the hills. Well, what kind of religion is this? He goes, well, first you got to get honest with yourself about your defects, your drinking. You got to, this is quit this living alone. You got to share what's bothering you with another person. You got to make a confession. Then you got to go out and make restitution to anybody that you've harmed. And then you got to, like, they showed me a new way of helping people. He's talking about the Oxford group. Without any thought of compensation or prestige, just helping people for the sake of being helpful. And Bill, now this is it. I know you're kind of gun shy about this religious stuff, and I'm not much of a theologian myself, but I found it helpful to me, and they said it was necessary for me, and I think it might help you to pray to whatever God you think is out there. God is you understand him. That's the message. And here's Bill Wilson's comment that blows me away. That's essentially what's at the heart of the program today. And this is 1951, 12 years after the big book was written. So the guy who wrote the book is telling you that's the program. Simple. Simple. Get honest about your eating. Stop living alone. Join the fellowship. Do an inventory. What's really bothering you, right? It's not what you're eating. It's what's eating you. Share it with another person. Go out and make restitution to everybody you've harmed. Come back and help people with no thought of compensation or prestige. And pray to whatever God you think might be out there. And that's it. And that is the essence of the program. So you might say, well, why do we need a big book? Well, to show you precisely how we recovered is the main purpose of this book. In the book, they're going to flesh it out. These are more slogans, questionable slogans, fake it till you make it. You think you're going to get it by osmosis, just getting your butt in the seat. I don't think so. You're going to have to take contrary action. Meeting makers make it. One side of the triangle. Ooh, let me explain the circle and the triangle. This gives me a nice... Here we go. They took it out of the third edition. It was Miracles of Mental Health that run World Service. This used to be it's in my original third edition. I don't think I brought it. I think it came in the second edition originally. And they had some copyright disputes with people who were putting it on mugs and stuff. And the AA got a little too feisty for their own good and threatened to sue some people. Well, guess what? They threatened to sue AA back. So that rather than get involved with lawsuits and publicity around this, they decided, well, we'll just let the whole thing go. They didn't even have to do this. They were just stupid. This logo has profound spiritual significance. It's an old symbol, body, mind, and spirit, that was used by other people way before AA adopted it. It's not the OA logo. That's a little different. But this has profound spiritual significance. Unity is your meetings, your fellowship. Okay? Our common welfare comes first. Service is, you know, what Paul just tried to do, get the computer working. Okay? Maybe what I'm doing today, just giving a workshop. Recovery is what's in the big book. It's the spiritual program of action. Basically, two attitude changes, a decision, and nine actions. Step one and two are attitude changes. Step three is a decision. And then the rest of them are actions we take. Okay? The group I hang out with, quote unquote, book thumpers, we draw the goddamn thing back in the fourth edition, you know, and we sit there with the sponsee and take them through this, and we let them know that if you're just going to meetings trying to get it by osmosis, and if you're just taking a few commitments, you got like a two-legged stool, notoriously unstable. You got to have a base. It's an equilateral triangle. I'm not saying meetings aren't as important. I'm not saying service isn't important. What they're putting on this birthday party to raise funds for Central Hall, that's important. But without a base of recovery, you're spinning your wheels. It's a very important teaching tool, I guess, this symbol. That's the way we use it. Yes, did you have a question? I go to the Thursday book study. They also have a Tuesday 7:30 at 958 Lincoln, just north of Wilshire. It's Lincoln and Washington Street, not Washington Culver City, but Washington Street in north of Wilshire, two blocks north of Wilshire on Lincoln, St. Paul's Lutheran Church. Not St. Monica's, St. Paul's. This is the headquarters group that Herb K. learned his stuff at. It's Joe Hawk's old crew. Yes. Without a base of recovery, what, dear? I say, well, you got a two-legged stool without a base of recovery. People are trying to get the program just going to meetings. They're trying to get the program taking commitments. You know, meeting makers make it. Service is slimming. There's something. They're questionable slogans. There's value in them. But you got to know what you're doing. Without this spiritual recovery, you're just, it's a group therapy or a self-help group. This is not group therapy. It's not self-help. The original, remember, I call myself an originalist. And by the way, you have the right to take what you want to leave the rest. If you don't ever want to open a big book, you don't want to get a sponsor and work the steps, you don't want to pray to a higher power as you understand them, don't do it. You can't tell anybody what to do in this program. You can only ask me to help you, and I can only say, are you willing to go to any lengths? Well, this is what we're going to do. You want to hear toxic slogans? This shit will kill you. Do a step a year. Some genius in New York came up with that one. I'd like to find him and throttle him. If you know AA history, Dr. Bob got sober a couple of weeks and then went to the AMA convention and relapsed because he wouldn't do his amends. He thought, oh, if I start doing amends, I'll lose all my patients in hospital. Everybody knew he was a drunk anyway. But he didn't want to go around to all the doctors and nurses and hospitals and patients and apologize. I'm sorry I had to postpone your surgery 6 months. I was on a bender. And he got drunk. Those guys who wrote the book, how much time do you think it took for them to be doing inventories and amends? How about a week, max, okay? How about Dr. Bob detoxing Clarence Snyder with paraldehyde, which is what they used to do, and he wakes up in the hospital bed, because that's what they used to do. Paraldehyde will keep you from going into DTs or convulsions, which is very dangerous alcohol withdrawal. More dangerous than heroin withdrawal, physically, medically. But it has a little interesting side effect. It knocked you out cold, but you wouldn't die in a convulsion. So you come up in a hospital bed, foggy, and Clarence is going, where am I? His wife had arranged that he get hospitalized, borrowed the money from another sober guy in the Oxford group. And Dr. Bob's sitting at the foot of his bed going, first they'd come in and qualify him. Everybody tells their story. What do you think of that? Yeah, you guys drank like I did. Yeah. You want this thing? Yeah, we haven't had a drink for 6 months, which was a huge period of time. Okay? Yeah, well, what's the answer? Don't worry, we'll tell you. So a whole group comes through and qualifies them. Do you want this thing? You know? Yeah. Did you drink like me? Yeah. And he says, well, what's this answer? You know? And they wouldn't tell him until finally, after a week of interviewing them, Dr. Bob comes in and says, well, what did you think of this young fellow? That's what he used to call Clarence. Clarence was 35. He was the youngest guy sober in the alcoholic squad. And Bob said, what do you think of this young fellow? Well, you guys drank like I do. You're great guys. I liked you. You're the real deal, all right. But you keep saying you got an answer to this thing. What the hell is it? Now, remember, he first met Bob in his office in the Second National Bank building. He looks up. Bob wasn't there, so he had to wait for him. He looks up and sees the sign on the office. Robert Holbrook Smith, rector surgeon. And he's saying, well, this certainly seems like a new approach to fixing alcoholism, you know. So he says, well, what's this answer? He's thinking, well, is this going to be some weird operation? And he says, young fella, do you believe in God? Well, what's that got to do? Young fella, it's got everything to do with it. Do you or don't you? Well, I guess so much for soft-pedaling the spiritual angle in the old days. So when Clarence agrees to it, he says, get down on your knees right out of the hospital bed. We're going to pray. I never prayed. Never mind. Just repeat after me. Now, this is the way they do it. So he's in his third step in the hospital room after a week of, you know, coming out of a fog. Before, and you wouldn't, until you made your surrender, you couldn't go to a meeting. You just didn't waltz into a meeting. Okay? I describe myself as a first edition level alcoholic. I was hospitalized by AA people who thought I was going to have a convulsion. I had a spiritual experience in my first meeting. Okay? The book appealed to me. Few to whom this volume will appeal could stay sober for any considerable period of time. Most would be drunk within a few weeks. I was drunk within a few hours. I was a daily drinker. I'm the real deal, first edition level. And a real compulsive overeater. Couldn't stop eating. Could not stop eating. Even after 8 months of AA recovery, see? So my point is you're into the steps immediately. So the recovery is powerful, spiritual, and very, and they're into it, you know. And there weren't meetings. There was no other sides to the triangle. Here's another toxic slogan. There are no musts in this program. Let me mention this right now. Page 62. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. One of the greatest lines in the book, which if they're of your own making, that means you can stop doing them. It means it's not their fault anymore. That's a great promise, by the way. They arise out of ourselves, and the compulsive overeater is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he or she usually doesn't think so. Okay? I'm going to abbreviate. You know what I mean. Above everything, we compulsive overeaters must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. So the guys who wrote the book were dying. That's what I mean with first edition level. Harlan's story, he was dying. See, he liked the big book. He had no problem with crossing out food and putting in alcohol. Okay? When you're dying, when you're desperate, okay, you're not, the G word doesn't scare you so much. You know, okay, what do you, you know, I'll do it. I'll say the prayer. You know, Clarence is saying a prayer, holding the guy's hand in his shorty hospital gown. He doesn't even know what the hell he's saying. But he stayed sober. Started the program in Cleveland. So be careful, because this business of there are no musts in the program, that, you know, how about, my sponsor says I must give up sugar. I can't stop binging. Well, I won't do that. There's no musts in this program. This can kill you, this kind of shit. Okay? Don't confuse there are no musts, which we can only suggest things. The one thing, I can't make you do anything at this point. I can't make you open a book, get a sponsor, get on a food plan, call in your food. Nobody's going to make you do anything. We can only suggest. Okay? That's true. But if you read the book, it says that if, you know, people are misusing, God, I don't know. People are misusing the slogans is what I'm getting at. Okay? Let me see. Let me go into the difference between, what do we mean by our program is, our book is meant to be suggestive only. Do you think that means, well, Jerry's got a program here, he's got a program there, Paul's got a program, Leonard's got a program, Roy's got a program. Well, you know, it doesn't mean that. It means before 1934, if you had alcoholism, or probably compulsive overeating, heroin addiction, or gambling, you died from this. Okay? That's what it means. Before 1934, you died. After 1935, we found a way out. We suggest you do it. This is what we did. In other words, this is the program that we suggest, because nobody else has ever survived before. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you can do any goddamn thing you want. I mean, here's my caveat, and I might go into my little personal story. I had a first sponsor in AA named Archie G. I won't violate his anonymity, though he's dead, made rotten hell. He was 17 years sober, and I was a terrified newcomer, real first edition alcoholic, hallucinated for 3 days coming off vodka. They hospitalized, AA people put me in the hospital, real first edition level. I saw my whole life pass before me at my first meeting. I had a spiritual experience, just like the first edition guys. Not all of them, but Bill, Bob, you know, not everybody. They changed it to spiritual awakening because people were saying, well, I didn't see any white lights, Bill. What the hell are you talking about? So they changed it from the first edition, first printing, they changed it to spiritual awakening. But it originally read in the manuscript, it read spiritual experience. I'm a first edition level guy. I had a spiritual experience. I was hospitalized by AA people. The book appealed to me. Okay? And then I'm asking you, here's the original manuscript. I'm just showing this up. I'm not going to take too much time with all this historical background. Are you still picking up my voice? Good. Thank you. This is Marian gave me this present. It's a book on the original manuscript that was submitted to the Cornwall Press printers, from which the big book was printed. There were 400 multi-lift copies circulated. They edited them, they argued over them, they fought over them, and they made corrections. Jimmy B. said, change it to God as we understood him. Okay. Dr. Howard, non-alcoholic psychiatrist, says, stop this. You must get this. You must get down on your knees. Go change it to, we did this. We did that. And we suggest you do this. He's non-alcoholic. Bill listened. The group conscience was heard. And, is there anything else of historical? I'm going into what happened. Bring me back to Archie G. I got to take a shot at this bastard. You know, it's the only revenge I can get. If you hear people in the program invidiously comparing the big book because of its literary style, you know, or that 1930s quasi-religious tract prose, what the hell is he doing? Or it's not the poetic majesty of the Bible or the Koran or the Upanishads. It's not, you know, it's got, I mean, what is the big book is what I'm getting at. Okay? Who knows? You know, right? What's the big book? How long have you been in OA? It's a textbook. If you hear somebody invidiously comparing the book to, because of its literary style, like it's supposed to be Ulysses or Portrait of the Artist or something, to the Bible, you know, it doesn't have the majesty of Genesis, you know, or to, doesn't it have autobiographical stories? Or is it an autobiography, like, is it like Soul on Ice or the biography of Malcolm X? Is it a medical book? It's got a doctor's opinion. It describes alcoholics and the different types, you know. Is it a psychology book? It's a textbook. The minute you hear somebody doing that, he doesn't know what the hell a book is, he or she. The only valid comparison would be another textbook on alcoholism. You can't compare apples and oranges, right? You like vanilla, I like chocolate. We can't eat them either one anymore, but, you know. So the only thing you could compare it against would be another textbook on alcoholism. There weren't too many of them around. Here's one, The Common Sense of Drinking by Richard Peabody. This is one of the books that Bill Wilson used to write his book. This guy sold the drunk farm where he was working with others. As long as he worked with others, he stayed sober. He made money running the detox. He sold it and died of alcoholism. But they took some of the stuff that's in the big book is right out of there. If they're comparing the book to anything else but another textbook on alcoholism, you know right then the guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. A textbook's made to be read from the beginning and studied. And how my buddy Sobriety Sam K. from Santa Monica says, you know how much they charge for like UCLA or USC? What, thousands of dollars for a course now, right? Three credits will probably cost you a grand at least. What would you think if the professor came in the first day, just put a bunch of textbooks on the table and said, all right, study this, 4 months from now we'll have the final. I'll see you then. What would you think? You'd think, you know, you're wasting your money, okay? So the book is meant to be taken through the book with somebody who has had experience with the book. Okay, but it is a textbook. We start at the beginning. You don't admit the doctor's opinion, which used to be on page one. It's on page one of the first edition. Okay, because the first step's in there. There's where the plan of recovery is. Okay? The program came from the Oxford group. They had 5 C's and 4 absolutes. I have handouts here, which you guys can have. It's got the 5 C's, the 4 absolutes, the original Oxford group steps. informative, but A, history's not necessary to understand the book, but it's, to me, it's important. I like to see what the hell's going on. Age-old spiritual principles as old as the hills, said Ebby. Or says Bill, anyway, in his 1951 tape. So, where is the plan of recovery? Where is the bottom end of the triangle? It's in the big book. Okay, that's where the program of recovery is. Because remember this, as Jeannie B. says, the program's in the literature. You're going to hear a lot of things in the meetings. I hope you don't hear anything that's too life-threatening, frankly, like step a year. And what is the message? The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives, which is a way which is indeed miraculous. It's a spiritual program. That's the program of recovery. Okay? Each individual in his personal story is from his own language and from his own point of view, the way he established his relationship with God. When's the last time you heard that as a theme for your local OA discussion meeting instead of broccoli or something? I mean, this is what those stories are about. The stories are for identification. And they're carrying a spiritual message. My thing with Archie G, the guy had 17 years. I was a terrified newcomer, hallucinated 3 days in the hospital. I'm going to meetings. I fell in love with the book immediately. Total identification. And he starts telling me, Bill Wilson only had 4.5 years when he wrote that. I got 17 years. I come to him, how do you do the 6 and 7 step? He couldn't tell me. I come to him and say, should I make amends? Forget about it. Okay? The guy was working the RTG program. Fortunately for me, I'm a first edition level alcoholic. Few to whom this volume will appeal can stay sober for any considerable period of time. Most will be drunk within a few weeks. I was drunk within a few days. I fell in love with the big book. Okay? It saved my life. Because when I was dying of untreated addiction, you can be in this program. You can even be thin. You can even be hanging in there abstinent and be dying of untreated spiritual malady. Okay? So the main object of this book is enabling you to find a power greater than yourself which will solve your problem. That's the object of the big book. And the program is in the big book, with all due respect to the OA 12 and the AA 12. It's a textbook. I always went over that. It's not an autobiography, even though it's got stories. It's not a medical book, even though it's got a doctor's opinion. It's not a theological sacred scroll, even though God's at every other sentence. It's a textbook that describes alcohol addiction, and you can cross out alcohol and put in food, and you've got food addiction. And it works. And it works for all of them. And OA's gotten the message big time. And I take my hats off to OA. Are you a real compulsive overeater? People get pissed off in AA when you talk, say real alcoholic. They think you're trying to be like a spiritual snob or something, you know. If when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when binging you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably a compulsive overeater. If that be the case, you may be suffering, suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience can conquer, will conquer. So if you are a compulsive overeater, I'm still spelling it something, all right, there you go. Only a spiritual experience will conquer. If you're the real deal, like Harlan, the G word didn't scare him out of Overeaters Anonymous when he was reading that big book. Fortunately, he had good sponsorship. Definitely listen to his tapes. So what kind of program do you need? You need a middle-of-the-road program, go on a few meetings, to take some service commitments, you get on a food plan, or do you need the real thing? That depends on you and what you need to survive here. I don't tell anybody else what to do. People in AA, they are absolutely staying sober on half-measure program. If you ask me, is there anything I disagree with in the big book? There are a few little things. One of them that says, lend him a copy of this book in working with others. I ain't lending anybody. Go spend $8 for a big book. This was written in 1939. The big book was $3.50. That's equivalent to about $50 in today's dollars. There weren't many books around. They were expensive. It was the height of the Depression. People were trying to feed their families, let alone buying textbooks on alcoholism. I ain't lending anybody a copy, especially my first edition. So how about middle-of-the-road solutions aren't going to work? They're working for a lot of people today. AA is like, the use of antidepressants is epidemic. And I'm going to get to the spiritual malady. because that's the whole key. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In other words, if you work a spiritual program, your abstinence is going to fall in line. If you're relieved of the obsession to eat, I'm not saying you shouldn't get a food sponsor, get a food plan. Abstinence in AA is like, okay, don't drink today. So ours is a little more, or don't drink alcohol. You can drink Pepsi or water, right? I can drink water. Your abstinence in OA is don't eat your binge foods, weigh and measure. Whatever your abstinence is fine. It's equivalent to me, like, just don't take the first thing for an AA guy. But when you straighten out spiritually, the obsession to eat will leave you. I've gotten those 10-step promises. You know, I've got the promises all through the book in these handouts. There's promises for every step. The 10-step promises are, I stop fighting anything and anybody, even food. It's happened automatically. I'm not, let me read it. Why the hell am I trying to remember it? Step 9, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even food. By this time, sanity will have returned, at least in regard to the food obsession. We will seldom be interested in overeating or sugar. If tempted, we will recoil as if from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. This is on page 84 and 85. We will see that our new attitude towards food has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Okay? We have not even sworn off. The problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. My day of liberation in OA was I was sitting in an AA clubhouse eating an abstinent lunch, you know, abstinent dinner after a meeting. I had about 2 weeks of a new abstinence, and it suddenly occurred to me, I hadn't thought it about food. It's 2 weeks. I've just been eating what was been on my food plan, and it was just like fuel. And I mean, holy shit, I'm free. Listen to these, though. The problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We're neither cocky nor are we afraid. I'm not afraid to go in bakeries and stuff like that. If we have carefully followed directions, we begin to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. It's a spiritual program. To some extent, we've become God conscious. God as you understand it. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. Okay? This is God consciousness they're talking about here. Now, if you haven't had that in your program and in your life, I might suggest where you could find it. Okay? Work with a sponsor who knows what they're doing in the big book. And that wasn't happening for me in AA, nor was it happening in OA when I got here in Miami in 78. And you know what that took me to? Even though I tried to do inventories and stuff with my friends. 7 years into this thing, my second sponsor, who was a good guy, Kurt B. from Boca Raton, said, I've never met anybody 7 years on the program so unhappy before. He says, that's the alcohol calling out for you. I was in the fetal position with resentments and pain and hatred. And obviously, my first sponsor's on my resentment list because he was a nightmare, train wreck, Archie G. Anyway, you know, with his opinions. I'll tell you, there's one program that's going to kill me, and that's the Roy L. program. But if you're working with a guy like me, you got nothing to worry about. If you think I'm sloppy, which I am, you're not going to become sloppy if you're neat. If you think I'm lazy, which I am, and you're a type A, you know, career go-getter, you're not going to become lazy if you work the steps with me. If, you know, you're very respectful of women and not lascivious, salacious, and lewd as I am, as women in AA don't think I should be allowed to stay sober. And I'll talk a little about that later in the minutes. You're not going to become like that. You know, if you're a Christian and I'm not, you're not going to become whatever I am. Because we're not working the Roy L. program. See, that's the biggest deal. We're doing the Bill W. program. I don't work a program other than in books. I'm not trying to turn you into me. You see, to thine own self be true is on the AA logo, and that goes for OA too. The steps will remove the obstacles which block you from who you really are, from your higher power. You see? So when you straighten out spiritually, you're going to straighten out physically and mentally. Lend them a copy of your book. See? I told you, I'm not going to. The three times have changed. You know, God has disclosed more to you, more to you, us, you and us, whatever the hell it says. He's disclosed more to me. I'm not lending them anything. Let him go buy one for $8. They talk about the statistics, how the rates of recovery. See, those are real questionable, because they used to vet these guys. You didn't just walk into a meeting back in the 30s and 40s, boy. They you know, qualified you. Tell me about you. Are you willing to go to any lengths? Get down on your knees. You know, that's going to weed out half of them right there. So the guys who were staying sober, the 50% recovery ratio, well, they were desperate, and even a lot of them relapsed, you know. Those statistics have changed, and it definitely changed in AA. Resting on two sides of the triangle, we went over that, suggested. I went over that, right? It's not that, like, they got to suggest the program here, they got to suggest the program here. No. Before 1935, you had alcoholism, you died. After 1935, we came up with something, you can live. We suggest you do it too. But we can only suggest you, we can't force it. It's not like, you know, we got competing programs. Why would not the big book? Why would people not want to do this? Why would they not be interested in the miracle of healing? Well, they're not coming in, you know, desperate. Harlan was desperate. The G-Way ain't going to run him out of OA, although I think he had a couple. Did you have a
quick question?
Sure.
Why in OA?
Yeah.
The do
event in OA?
And
because, oh man, you're getting, see, now I can get into Roy's opinion, so be aware, or take what you want, leave the rest. His question is, why would they resent a word like real alcoholic in Alcoholics Anonymous? Well, I had a sponsee, and I should talk about this right after this question, who I said, tell me about your drinking. This method I use, which is what I'm trying to teach today, you turn the statements into questions. Okay? It's the book thumper method. It was started by this group in Santa Monica that Herb Kay was sponsored by the original guy. You sit there with a big book with your sponsee in front of you, and you say, the phenomenon of craving occurs only in the real alcoholic and almost never in the moderate or even heavy drinker. Did the phenomenon of craving occur? In other words, eating makes me hungry in OA. Drinking makes me thirsty in AA. My brother, who's a compulsive overeater and not an alcoholic, I come back one night from a meeting. I'm visiting him in Arizona. He's on his way up again to 300. He's having a scotch. He's watching TV, you know. And I come in, and how's the meeting? Yeah, good, good. And he gets up. He goes, should I have another Grants? He's got a bottle of Grants. That was the question I never had to ask myself. Now, I am a compulsive eater too. You know, he can eat a pizza pie faster than scald. He must have an asbestos lining in his mouth. I would eat like that too. But he's not an alcoholic. He doesn't crave alcohol the way I do. I never had to ask that question. That bottle's there. I'm finishing it until I pass out. Okay, and then if I still want more, I'll drive in a blackout, endanger my life and others to get more. He's not an alcoholic. He's a compulsive overeater, see. There are people in the program today in the AA Fellowship. I took this guy through the steps. Pot was his thing. He smoked pot. He didn't answer his bills. He would isolate. He drank less in college than he did in high school. His father was like a dry drunk in AA, so he had a resentment against AA. He was kind of an ACA. He was really a pot addict. I sent him to Marijuana Anonymous. He didn't like it. I sent him to Adult Children and Alcoholics. He didn't like it. He liked the AA meetings, but not the spiritual ones, though. He liked the kind of the group therapy, you know, they don't even open with a serenity prayer. There's a few of these men, stag, noon, they're kind of like, I don't know what the hell they have, support groups. Not my kind of program. I'm a first edition level alcoholic. I'm suffering from a malady that only a spiritual experience will conquer, not some group therapy effort. There are people in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous today who are not really alcoholic. We are an attractive bunch. We have fun. We're interesting. You can dump your garbage. You get hugs. You chat up the women. You drink the shitty coffee. You go to the dances. I mean, it's a fellowship. It's one side of the triangle that's attractive. And that's what they do. They're not real alcoholics. Always less like that, because this ain't no chic, glamorous program. You know, if you're winding up with Overeaters Anonymous, you got a problem. You know, you're not going to hear people on the radio talk about the log cabin, which I did I mean, this is not a super glamorous cheesy program, you know. People come in here because they got a problem. So, anyway, the book talks about desperate cases, okay? The 12 and 12 says in AA's pioneering time, I'm going to add one here. In AA's pioneering time, none but the most desperate cases could swallow and digest this unpalatable truth. You see, Clarence Snyder is going to get out of a hospital bed in a shorty nightgown and say a prayer. He doesn't even know what the hell he's doing, but he's desperate. Okay? OA people are open to the big book because they're desperate, which is to your credit, because we, you know, we don't have these tourists or whatever the hell they are in the AA, you know. And they don't like terms in, like real alcoholic. And they don't like me saying stuff like the programs in the book, the opinions are in the meeting. That pisses them off. You see, half of them, and let's see. I'm getting too much in opinions, maybe. All right, let me tell you the aim of book study. This is book thumping. It's, you sit there with a sponsee in front of you, and we go through the book. And if it's an OA sponsee, I say, what is that? Oh, that just happens. If it's an OA sponsee, I say, you know, when you ate sugar, did you crave more? Could you stop on your own power? Okay. Did you have the spiritual malady? Which I'm going to get to as I continue. That's the basic method of this whole thing. And this is called, these are called the considerations and the realizations. In other words, you turn the statements in the big book into questions. Let me just give you an easy example. Okay. Page 39. We're talking about people who are not sure. You're carrying the message and they're not sure if they're a real alcoholic or a real compulsive overeater. This will apply equally. That may be true to a certain non-alcoholic people who, though drinking foolishly and heavily at the present time, are able to stop or moderate because their brains and bodies have not been damaged as ours were. Are you able to stop and moderate on your own power? Can you stay on the diet on your own power? Okay. But the actual potential compulsive eater, alcoholic, with hardly an exception, will be absolutely unable to stop drinking, eating, on the basis of self-knowledge. Now, you know you've got a problem. You were sent here by the courts. Can you stop drinking on the basis that you know you got a problem? And the guy's going to say yes or no. Okay? If he says yes, he's probably an alcoholic. If you say, well, you know your doctor told you you've got to stop eating sugar, you're starting to develop diabetes, you've been on 15 crash diets and